It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters, many of which mentioned our report on the devastation caused by the Israeli attacks on the Jenin refugee camp.
Simon Burrow sent us this email. Your reporter gave not one word of explanation for why the attack was necessary. Remember, this all started weeks ago with the terror killing of Israeli civilians. She talked for 5 minutes about the horrors of the Israeli attacks, but then finally admitted that there were only 5 confirmed dead.
Harvey Dershin of Evanston, Illinois writes, I was amazed to hear an NPR broadcaster reporting from Jenin on the West Bank and referring to the 1948 war that gave birth to Israel. Doesn't this reporter know that the United Nations gave birth to Israel?
Fred Yontz of Reston, Virginia, is among those who question the timing of our broadcasts of the Yiddish Radio Project, given the fighting in the Mideast. I can imagine you're poo-pooing my concern, he writes. I'm not feeling very kindly toward Judaism or anything Jewish, and that includes Yiddish radio. But I think you'd have to admit that if, right after the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, you started airing a series of pro-Muslim Arab culture program segments, there would have been quite a backlash from a lot of your listeners.
We also received many letters like this one, though, from Anna Zaks of Philadelphia. Thanks for this wonderful series on Yiddish radio. It's so wonderful that somebody is trying to preserve our past and history. It's not just the Jewish history, it's everybody's heritage, since radio has been such an important medium since the 1930s.
Joseph Norby of Savannah, Georgia, was prompted to write by our story on child umpires in Illinois who lost their jobs when the State Department of Labor ruled they were underage. I'm not from Illinois, he writes, but umpiring was my main income when I was 13 and 14, and a season's games would keep me from pestering my parents to borrow money. It taught me ambition and good work ethics.
Our geography got several corrections this past week. Desmond Alufahai of Coral Gables, Florida, writes about our interview concerning third world debt. He says the guest cited an example of an African country called Burkina Faso, quote, located in Central Africa. Mr. Alufahai continues, Burkina Faso, formerly called Upper Volta and a former French colony, is located in West Africa and not in Central Africa. Ouagadougou is the capital city.
Matthew Lesser of Washington, D.C. writes, Leanne Hansen's report on the recently discovered super colony of ants made one glaring error. The colony doesn't, quote, extend along the Mediterranean from Portugal to Spain, nor could it. Portugal has no Mediterranean coast.
Raul Biascochea of Everett, Washington, writes about our story on a rural town in Texas that attracted doctors from many different nations as a result of a special visa program. The reporter went on to name various countries the doctors serving these communities had come from. Among those mentioned was Puerto Rico. If any doctors from Puerto Rico went to work in these rural communities, it wasn't because of the special visa program. Puerto Rico is a commonwealth of the United States.
And finally, Lauren Musheri of Jamesburg, New Jersey, was surprised when he heard Leanne Hansen's interview with singer Steve Tyrell. Mr. Musheri writes, Leanne asked Mr. Tyrell how he managed to tear Clark Terry away from the piano to lend his voice to his new recordings. I would think that this would be an easy task, as Mr. Terry is known to be a trumpeter, not a pianist.
Our email address is atc@npr.org. If you send us a letter, please remember to tell us where you're writing from and also how you pronounce your name.